Hi, welcome to the HRD Live podcast. I'm Finn Murphy, and I'll be your host. I'm joined today by the thought leader, Robin Speculand. With a background leading top firms like Citigroup, Speculand became a firm contact with major businessmen like Piyush Gupta, CEO of DBS Group, one of Southeast Asia's largest banks. In the mid-2010s, DBS launched an organisational overhaul in which HR played a key role, helping the firm transform its people and digital strategy. In this podcast, Speculand outlines the key changes that DBS made, the outcomes, and what leaders can learn from the undertaking. Please note that as this was a remote recording, the audio quality may fluctuate slightly from time to time. Enjoy the podcast. Robin, thanks for sharing your time today. To begin, what role did HR play in DBS's organizational change?
The leaders identified a strategy called Making Banking Joyful. As early as 2014, the leadership, including HR, recognized that nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, let's do banking. So they saw the new technology as an opportunity. And the HR team were very much involved in driving the transformation. And they also had one or two of the early successes that helped build the momentum.
How did DBS create a strategy that was influenced by other firms and emphasized key undertakings like L&D?
First of all, the CEO, a gentleman called Piyush Gupta, from the day one of launching the strategy, he said it's about both the hardware and the software, meaning both the technology and the people. Now, today, that's not such an amazing statement, but 7 years ago, we were just trying to comprehend the technology, and he had already said, no, this has to be both and. So right from the top, the CEO worked with the HR head and the team to ensure that people were part of the transformation. And I'll give you some examples of how they did that. So first of all, they recognized that because this was an industrial revolution, we had to go back to school. So they adopted a best practice from Google. In Google, they call it G2G, Googler to Googler. And in DBS Bank out of Singapore, what they did was everyone was given by the government £300 and by the bank £300. And they could spend that £600 on training on anything they wanted to learn. The only one condition was when they came back from the training, whether it was online or in person, they had to share the learning with their peers. Now, of course, that's a very clever move because it ensures, one, that you're paying attention during the learning, and two, that you pick something that is relevant. So, but that choice, you know, we know in human behavior that when people choose, they're five times more likely to participate and to do something. So that was how they first engaged the participants in the learning. Secondly, the learning, only 10% was in the classroom, 90% was learning by doing. And the HR team led the way on this, and I'll share an example with you. One of the first successful AI interventions didn't come from corporate banking or the consumer. It came from HR, who developed something they call JIM. And JIM is a jobs hiring using AI. The bank staff, the HR staff, used to spend hours every week and month going through resumes, sorting out potential candidates. It was time consuming. It was, you know, operationally focused. They recognized this as a pain point internally. And they worked with an AI company to take that, looking at the application and driving it through AI. And when JIM was launched, what it did was it made that whole initial application easy for the potential employee to do. Obviously, it was non-biased. They could do it 24/7. So for example, they didn't have to take time off their current job to apply, you know, visit the bank. And more importantly, internally for the staff, it freed up their time And they were then able to do things they'd never had time to do before. Like they moved into coaching their own colleagues. So the gym became an early success out of HR that helped build the momentum for their whole transformation.
What values did DBS prioritize and how did the workplace reflect them?
It's been an amazing transformation. And you don't become recognized as the world's best bank by the most prestigious banking awards, obviously, if the people internally have not transformed. Now, we've all heard the old sayings that people resist change and the challenges, but the HR supported the whole drive in the digital purpose of making banking joyful. And what they played in their role was also filtered through, and I'll give you a couple of examples, in different ways. So another thing the HR team drove was creating what they call joy spaces. Now we've all, you know, seen the cartoons where people are working in cubicles. They recognized that if they were going to be agile, which is very much a part of digital transformation, the environment had to support the desired behaviors. So they restructured the whole area that people work to create joy spaces. And joy spaces are open spaces that encourage people to collaborate. So it turns, it removes the silos as well. And as part of Agile, people just came together for short 20-minute meetings. And it wasn't unusual when I was walking through the bank to see people sitting on the floor having discussions. So the other thing they did is the bank is located at one of the most expensive real estates in the world, overlooking the bay in Singapore. Now, traditionally in banks, you would have the senior vice president's office, you know, overlooking that space. But DBS said, no, as part of our empowerment, and you know, we want not only making banking joyful for our customers, but also employees. So the open spaces were looking out over the windows with the light overlooking the water.
How has DBS's strategy responded to the recent disruption and uncertainty ahead?
One of the things they were very smart in doing at the beginning is they guaranteed that no employee would lose their job because of COVID. Now, obviously, if you work as in a branch that's been closed because of the lockdown, you were worried about your job. So this was a critical step. Secondly, they started a campaign out of HR called Together. And Together focused on recognizing the challenge that everyone was going through. So for example, as we moved to virtual calls like we've had to do today, at the beginning of the call, the team leader or the manager would check in with the team and to make sure that everyone was doing well. They would organize partners and buddies to host activities with, and they would have online events, and their focus was to make it comfortable for the employees. And also on the business front, at the same time, they introduced something called Raccoon, which is a little play on words of raccoon. And Raccoon was about challenging the norm, never accepting where we are today, making sure that we're customer focused, because the bank had three strategic principles to implement. One around technology, two being customer obsessed, and three around the culture. And as the culture continuously evolves, they do it by asking their employees, how can we do this better? How can we improve? And the key part of that is that empowerment has to be in place. And in DBS, it is. The employees are empowered. I gave the example of the training, but they're also empowered to make the decisions. So when they participate in a hackathon, they come out after 2 days. They don't have to sit around doing PowerPoint presentations, asking for permission or for funds. They're empowered to go into an incubator, an accelerator, and within 90 days, have a prototype solution for the customer to resolve a pain point.
In what ways did DBS empower all levels of its workforce?
The first one is, as Google have done, as DBS done, is allowing your employees to choose the learning they want to do. we all recognize in digital transformation now that you have to learn the new skills. And this is not just the employees. It was for the senior leaders as well. And the other aspect of that is there's a divide that some people still say, well, new technology for new employees, meaning younger. This is also not true. So the CEO, Piyush, he was actually home in India visiting his mother and father, and he noticed his 85-year-old father was using Amazon to order products. He was doing his taxes online. And he thought, hang on, if my dad can do this, so can all my employees. So he went back to Singapore and he announced he was going to run a hackathon. And the condition was that everyone had to be over the age of 40. And the argument was that it didn't matter what age you are, everyone gets involved. And it was a very successful run hackathon. Of course, at the end of 2 days, you know, the parents were going back to home saying, look what I did at work today. And they developed their own app to resolve an issue. So the bank embraced that it was everyone who got involved and ensured that, you know, the learning and the technology was spread across the whole organization. And it was HR's responsibility to make sure that was happening.
Thanks so much for joining us today. To discover more fresh content from HRD Connect, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.